So it's batch number 9 now, and we have our final stories for you. We've got 4 more headlines. We're going to give you those, and then we've got the answers to Liz's one and only quiz. So my headlines are Moorcroft shut with immediate effect as 57 workers axed, and 2 Stoke-on-Trent teens held after cyclist 11 killed in crash with car. And Liz's stories coming up are...
Rebarkable. Treasure tree ripped down as Stormbird gets new lease of life, and new 31-bed women-only mental health hospital opens in North Staffordshire.
Okay, so now it's time for Liz's one and only quiz answers. So here we go.
Number 1. The Glorious Revolution of 1688 brought which king to the English throne? The king was William III. The question didn't ask, but it was ruled jointly with his wife. It was William and Mary, who was Mary II. So if you said that as well, you've got a bonus point. Number 2. In which US city is the headquarters of the United Nations? It is in New York. Number 3. What is the main river that runs through Dublin? It's the Liffey. And a bonus question, I didn't ask you this question. Dublin means black pool. Dub in Gaelic is black and Lynn is pool. Number 4. Sargassum and kelp are types of what? They are types of seaweed. Number 5. Which metallic element is also known as quicksilver? Mercury. Number 6, which Hollywood actress was married to Humphrey Bogart from 1945 until 1957? Lauren Bacall. Number 7, what is the name given to the sultry summer days that usually follow the rising of the star system Sirius? It's the Dog Days. Number 8, who claimed that the Battle of Waterloo was won on the playing fields of Eton? The Duke of Wellington. Number 9, what name was attached to the Irish-born American cook and disease carrier, Mary Mallon? I thought the answer to this was Molly Malone. It's M-A-L-L-O-N, and I thought, oh, that's Molly Malone, but it's not. It's Typhoid Mary. I think the song was Molly Malone. Number 10, which Wagner opera is based on the legend of a ghost ship? Never able to make port, but doomed to sail the sea forever. It's the Flying Dutchman. And bonus, in the nursery rhyme Oranges and Lemons, what do the bells of Old Bailey say? And they say, when will you pay me? When will you pay me? Say the bells of Old Bailey.
Amazing.
And when I grow rich is the answer from the bells of Shoreditch.
Well done if you got all those right, and if not, have a go at Timbo's Trivia or the one and only Quiz with Liz next time. So I'm going to do the first story now in Batch 9, and Moorcroft shut to the immediate effect as 57 workers at, and this was a story from the end of last week. So Potteries giant Moorcroft has shut with immediate effect, and 57 workers have lost their jobs following the sudden closure of the Burslem firm. It follows a failed search to find a buyer for the troubled company, and rising bills and the cost of living crisis have been blamed for the closure. Now the firm is placed into liquidation. In a statement, the firm stated it is with deep sadness that the board of directors have announced the closure of W. Moorcroft Limited with immediate effect. The closure comes after an extended period of intense marketing, which regrettably did not result in a buyer who could proceed with a sufficient level of investment. The company began trading from its Sandbach Road site in 1913 with the help of Liberty of London, who promoted the world-class art pottery. The company was made potters to H.M. the Queen in 1928. Operating out of the original brick factory in Stoke-on-Trent, complete with its own Grade 2 listed bottle oven, the site also hosted the company's heritage visitor centre and museum. Moorcroft continued to use the glazes and distinctive slip trialling methods pioneered by William Moorcroft at the end of the 19th century. This incredibly labour-intensive process produced colourful designs of intricacy, intricacy, brilliance and clarity in the arts and crafts tradition through the exceptional heritage skills of craftsmen and women. The company faces an increase in energy and other costs in a difficult trading environment with a global cost of living crisis. This has resulted in a seemingly unsustainable financial position. The closure of the business has resulted in the redundancy of 57 employees, some of whom are being supported by the GMB union. At first reported at the end of February, staff were notified of potential redundancy and have now been made aware of the procedure for making redundancy claims. The Board of Directors wishes to thank each employee for their unique heritage skills and commitment to the art pottery industry during a very challenging economic period. The directors have pursued every avenue possible to save the business. However, they've been left with no other option than to engage the services of a local insolvency firm to place the company into liquidation. More recovery has been instructed by the directors and they are hopeful that a buyer for the assets and brand can be found together with a suitable outcome for Moorcroft's highly skilled workforce. So over to Liz, who's going to do the next story for us in batch number 9.
Rebarkable. Treasured tree ripped down in Stormbirt gets new lease of life. You would not believe how it has been repurposed for the community. A community is overjoyed by a new bench that has been made as a tribute to a 200 to 300-year-old chestnut tree, which has been adored by generations of visitors. The beloved old horse chestnut tree used to grow proudly in a spot in Poolside, opposite the Old Hall Country House, next to the River Lee in Madeley. Members of the community were left devastated when the tree fell as just one of the catastrophic consequences of Storm Bert that tore up hundreds of trees throughout Stoke-on-Trent and North Staffordshire in November last year. Now there's a beautifully carved bench thanks to chainsaw artist Rob Dalton, who picked up the tool in 2018 after being diagnosed with PTSD, that's post-traumatic stress disorder, after leaving the forces, and was employed by Madeley Parish Council to repurpose the tree. Features carved into the new bench include the tree itself, conkers, swans and fish, to represent those things celebrated by villagers when visiting Poolside. A planter is also due to be installed as well as the tree, both of which will be devoted to former Borough Mayor Barry Panter, who passed away following a car crash in February. Councillor Jill Whitmore, who was born in Madeley and still lives in the village, was part of the team who brought the idea of a memorial bench into fruition. She said, "People would play on it, people went on dates to the tree, some people had their first kisses underneath it, children played conkers from it, it meant so much to the village and people were crying when it went down." Newcastle Borough Council said that the environmental agency had told them it was blocking the stream up because it fell into the River Lee. The community didn't want to get rid of the tree and asked to save it. A colleague knew Rob Dalton, who was happy to do it, and it was passed through the parish council. "I was there all week whilst he was carving it. People came from the village to see him at work because he did it where it was. He had to corner it off because of using the chainsaw, so I was there chatting to people so he could work. We've got something positive out of a disaster. There was already a hard standing area for the bench, so it's a love seat with conkers, the tree, fish and swans to represent what the village celebrates. Everyone thinks it's great, as do parishioners. Rob has brought the tree back to life again. We're really proud that we've managed to save the tree and give something back to the villagers. Rob's left a big piece of the tree trunk so children can still climb and play on it. So it's great because people can sit on the bench whilst the children play, something most children in the village have done for hundreds of years, including myself. People were queuing to get pieces of the tree because he cut discs. Each school got one and so did the Madeley Centre, so they have a bit of the tree that they can do what they want with. There's a lady who's going to sand the trunk down and age it, who lives across the road from the tree. Someone in the village has grown a small conker tree for 30 years and she's kindly donated it, so that's going to be planted there along with some saplings. I'd love to know how old it is. There's a lady who's going to look at it and let us know the exact age, and then it's more history for the children to be able to pass on to future generations.
Okay, my final story for us now in Batch 9 is two Stoke-on-Trent teens held after cyclist 11 was killed in crash with car. Two Stoke-on-Trent teenagers have been arrested after 11-year-old cyclist was killed in a crash with a car, and the schoolboy was confirmed dead at the scene after being knocked off his bike in a collision with a black Fiesta. Now, two 19-year-old men, both from Stoke-on-Trent, have been detained in connection with the fatal smash. The driver of the Fiesta was arrested on suspicion of causing death by dangerous driving, and the passenger was arrested on suspicion of aiding, abetting dangerous driving. They have since been released on bail. Officers are now working to establish the full circumstances of the collision, which happened in Middlewich near to the junction before 2:15 p.m. at the end of April. They are appealing for witnesses who have seen a black seat Leon and black Ford Fiesta travelling in close proximity on the A533 from Sambatch. A Cheshire Police spokesperson said that officers are continuing to appeal for witnesses and footage following a fatal collision in Middlewich, and the collision involved a black Fiesta. The cyclist, 11-year-old boy from Middlewich, suffered serious injuries and he was sadly pronounced dead at the scene. His family are currently being supported by specialist police officers. Inquiries remain ongoing, and as part of the investigation, the occupants of the Fiesta have been arrested in relation to the incident. As part of inquiries, officers would urge anyone who may also have had any CCTV or dashcam footage of these vehicles to get in touch with them. Sergeant Simon Degg of the Serious Collision Investigation Unit said, "This is an incredible sad incident in which a young boy has lost his life. Our thoughts remain with his family and friends at this difficult time. We would like to appeal to anyone who witnessed this incident who hasn't already spoken to us to get in touch. The same goes for anyone who may have any footage, including dashcam, which could aid our inquiries. Anyone with information is asked to contact Cheshire Police or call 101, quoting IML 207 8504. So over to Liz, who's going to do the final story for us in Batch 9.
New 31-bed women-only mental health hospital opens in North Staffordshire. A new mental health hospital for women has opened in North Staffordshire, creating more than 100 jobs. The 31-bed Signet Hospital Kidsgrove in Boat Horse Road is now treating the first patients following the official launch. It has two wards, Crocus Ward for acute admissions and Burley Ward, a highly specialised personality disorder service. The service means more women across Stoke-on-Trent and Staffordshire will be cared for closer to home. A total of 105 jobs have also been created, including clinical, nursing and administrative roles. Hospital manager Wiston Magunda said, "At Signet Healthcare, we are doing all we can to make a positive difference to the lives of those suffering with their mental health. Signet is determined to play its part in ensuring people get access to the right treatment at the right time, and the opening of Signet Hospital Kidsgrove is a new chapter in our commitment to provide outstanding mental health care and support in the West Midlands. The hospital will help keep women from the West Midlands closer to home and bring care and treatment closer to their family and friends. It will provide a safe and supportive environment for those who need it most and provide a space where high quality person-centred care can be delivered. From working in collaboration with former service users to ensure the design is optimum for recovery, to the dedicated clinical and support teams we've brought together, every element of this new hospital has been carefully considered to ensure we offer the best experience for our service users and their families. We are proud to be part of the Kidsgrove community and look forward to creating positive outcomes, not just for our service users, but for the wider community too." Signet Healthcare already runs Signet St Augustine's, a 32-bed facility for men on Cobridge Road. Dr Tony Romero, CEO of Signet, added, We already have a strong presence in the West Midlands region, and Signet Hospital Kidsgrove will be a fantastic addition to our existing mental health services. It will make an enormous difference to those who may have otherwise needed to travel further distances for their care and treatment, and signifies an important milestone in our mission to expand and enhance specialist mental health services across the UK. Signet Hospital Kidsgrove is the product of thoughtful planning, design and collaboration at every level, from our clinical and operational teams to our commissioners and our service users who had valuable input into the design. I'm looking forward to seeing the positive impact we will have on the lives of women in need of support. Venus Lammy is a former patient at Signet Bury, Forestwood and the Signet EBE, who contributed her ideas during the development. She said, "As someone who has walked the path of mental health recovery, I know this new hospital will create such an impact to the community. One of the most difficult parts of my journey was having to leave my community and be far away from my family, friends and local professionals who knew me best. This new hospital changes that. It means that people can access outstanding individualised mental health care closer to home. It means they can stay near the people who love them, the professionals who already understand their needs and the community they're a part of. That makes a huge difference during the hardest moments of someone's life."
Okay, so that's it now for batch number 9 and for all of our news in local news and features. A big thank you to Liz.
And that's the end from me. So goodbye, everybody. Hope everyone's enjoying the lovely weather we're having.
And we will see you again in a couple of weeks.
Goodbye.
And have a nice weekend. It's not actually goodbye from me. I'll be back soon with the entertainment segments.